Good morning, everybody. Let's have a word of prayer together, and then we will jump in and we will study just a little bit. Let's pray. Father God, we're grateful for every opportunity that you give us to be together, to assemble with your people. Father, we're grateful for one another, and we're thankful for this time. We pray, Father, that you would help us. We need your help, and we freely admit that. So help us, and we invite you into our hearts to do just that. We pray in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. So we have been studying from Israel for some time. The last several months we have talked about different stories. We've thought about different things. And as we conclude this series this morning, I don't think there's a better thing to talk about than faith. Every story we've talked about, every text that we've looked at, there's been one thing that's been true throughout it all, at least one thing. That's been true throughout it all, and that is when Israel had conviction in their father. When Israel believed, not just in their head, but in their hands, wonders happened. And when Israel didn't, sorrow happened. Faith is the key. Not just a head belief, but a conviction that surpasses your daily circumstance. When things are good, and maybe things are good for you right now, I bless God and I thank God and I'm convicted that God is doing something. When things are bad, and maybe things are bad for you right now, when things stink, I bless God, I thank God, and I am convicted that He is doing something. That's faith. And this is the lesson for Israel, I think, in every story that we've looked at. Ladies, I've shared with you before, and I want to share with you again this morning, that every man in this room sees himself as a low-grade superhero. Batman, Superman, Spider-Man, these are not figments of a boy's imagination. These are options, real options that they can grow into someday. And if every man were completely honest with you, ladies, they would tell themselves that there is not a movie they watch or a story they read where they do not replace the hero in the story with themselves. They think that they can do this. John Eldridge, in his book Wild at Heart, says every man was created to fight a battle and rescue beauty. Heroes. The ancient Greeks had a saying that you could tell a lot about a society based on the heroes they have. Sometimes I wonder what history will record about our society based on our heroes. The first church in Jerusalem had their own list of heroes found in Hebrews chapter 11. And I invite you to turn there. As we conclude the story of Israel, we're going to be in the New Testament in Hebrews chapter 11. And I'll have it on the screen for you in just a minute. What's interesting about this text in Hebrews chapter 11 is that the Hebrew writer does what we're going to do this morning, and that's wrap up the whole story. List the heroes. And you could tell a lot about people of faith based on the heroes that they had. A who's who of people that they wanted to imitate. People that they wanted to be like. I mean, to have faith like Rahab. The prayer life of a man like Elijah. The perseverance of a man like Job. And we didn't even talk about those stories. But to have faith like Abraham, where he left his home and everything he knew as an old man and believed in a promised son that would come. To have faith like Joseph. To have faith like Moses. And at the end of all of that, at the end of the who's who, at the end of the big, it's easy to miss how the Hebrew writer really wraps up the whole story of Israel. Look at this text with me in Hebrews chapter 11, starting in verse 32. What more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were killed with a sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy. Wandering about in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth, and all these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. It's powerful how the Hebrew writer starts out by talking about all the stories that we've talked about. But the way my brain works, it may be just as powerful, if not more powerful, the way the Hebrew writer ends. He mentions all of those big names, and we know what he's talking about. Gideon, in Judges 6 to 8, made mistakes, but in the end had conviction that God was real and that God was going to do something with his life. Barak in Judges 4 believed Deborah when she said that God went out before him in the face of Sisera and his army. God responded to that faith and the people won the victory that day. In Judges 13 through 16, Samson, despite his wavering heart at times, pulled down pillars with no eyes in his head, defeating the Philistines. Jephthah in Judges 11, the son of a prostitute, defeated the Ammonites because of his faith in God, despite his wavering hearts. Of course, we know the faith of David, despite his turmoil, the fight with Goliath, the repentance after the experience with Bathsheba and Uriah, on and on and on we could go. And all these men and women, according to the Hebrew writer, testify how powerful faith is. Now keep in mind that their faith was displayed by what they did, not just what they believed. What are we trusting God to do? In other words, because these folks had faith, God acted and wonders happened. That's the story of Israel. God was always the same, right? The same in every story that Mark and I have tried to cover over the last several months. God was the same. But in some stories, the outcome was wonder, and in some stories, the outcome was failure. What's the difference? If God is the same, what's the difference? What brings about wonder and what brings about failure? The level of faith. Do you think that most churches are experiencing everything that the Lord would allow them to experience? Do Do you think as you look across, just say, the South and the United States of America within Churches of Christ, do you think that all of our churches and our fellowship are experiencing everything that the Lord would allow for us to experience? How many of you say yes? How many of you say no? If the answer is no, how many of you aren't voting? If the answer is no, why is that? If the bulk of our churches are not experiencing everything that the Lord would allow for us to experience, why don't we experience those things? You see, I think a lot of us struggle with the theology of the small box. We place God within a very small box and we only allow for so many things to happen. And typically it's within the norm of what we've seen historically. We believe in a God who was very, very active in the past, and we believe in a God who will be very, very active in the future. We're just not so sure or certain that God is really active now. We teach our kids in Bible class here. In Bible class every week. We teach our kids at Vacation Bible School not just how big God was or how big God will be. We want to teach them how big God is today. Because we want to convince them that God is active and alert and alive today. So that they would be spurred on in their faith to trust that He has something to say, not only about their past or about their future, but also about their today. I'm just not so certain that all of us adults are being trained like our kids are. That God is alive and active and engaged today. Text after text after text in the New Testament and even in the Old Testament, we read, your faith has made you well. That doesn't mean that you would be made well whether or not you had faith. It is to say that because you had faith, things are better. Things are better. Faith. In some stories, wonders happen. And in some stories, defeat happens. Tragedy happens. What's the difference? God is the same. The difference is faith. What are we trusting God to do? What do we have faith that God can do for us and through us individually? And collectively. What foreign armies can we put to flight? What situations can we shut the mouths of lions? You think about any of those stories that you can cherry pick out of that text in Hebrews 11, and would any of those wonders happen if the people in those stories had said, we don't think God can do it? Of course they wouldn't have happened. Do you think that the pillars would have been pulled down if the judge had said, I don't think God can do this? Do you think that Abraham would have become a father of a nation if he said, regardless of what God has promised, I don't think God's big enough to do that? Do you think that Goliath would have fallen on the battlefield that day if David had said, look how big he is? God is able and was able to do all of those things. But what unleashed that power, what made that power evident in the physical places in the world was faith. Conviction. The fact is, many times, both individually and collectively, we do not have because we do not ask. Do you really believe that God can help you today? Do you believe it? I think, I've said before and I'll say again, I think the only thing out of the reach of faith is something out of the will of God. The only thing out of the reach of faith is something out of the will of God. The truth is, much of the time, I know as I look at my own life and my own interaction with God, it's a lot easier to sing about faith and pray about faith and talk about faith than it is actually to walk in faith. What I want you to understand, it's that coming to church and having the right conversations and singing the right songs and praying the right prayers, it's possible to have all that and still not really have faith. You can talk about faith and not really have faith. You can even intellectually know what faith is, but not have faith. So what do? If we know that knowing what God can do and knowing what God is waiting to do through us are different things, what can we do? And this is why faith is hard. What will we as a church trust God to give us next year? What are we trusting God to do? Something that's beyond our own strength. Now here's the deal. To have faith, real faith, what we trust in God to provide us has to be beyond our grasp. Because if it's within our grasp, it's within our power to make it happen. Something so big that only God can help, so that God is the one who gets the credit. That's what the Hebrew writer says. And that's why faith, according to the Hebrew writer, this kind of faith, the world wasn't worthy of it. Is the world worthy of our faith? I hope not. What do we want God to do for us? Dads, what do you want God to do for your family? What are you trusting that God would provide? What healing or reconciliation or success or teaching opportunities are you believing that God is going to give you next year? What are we trusting here at the church that God can do with us and through us? What do we want? Do we want worship to be real and engaging? Do we want to grow? Do we want new opportunities for all ages, for our adults and for our children? Do we want new opportunities to reach out with the gospel message to people who don't know Jesus? That's putting foreign armies to flight. That's shutting the mouths of lions. You know why that is? Because we can't do it on our own. We can't just snap and make those things happen. What do we have faith that God can do through us? I believe this with all of my heart, because I believe that God is big, but I also believe that the soil is right at Netherland, that there is nothing that is beyond our reach here. Nothing. That there is nothing beyond our reach as long as we have that level of faith. Another interesting thing about this text is specifically the way it ends. If you look back at Hebrews 11, verse 35, the text says, some were tortured, refusing to accept release so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were sawn in two. They were killed with the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy. There were others who walked in an extraordinary amount of faith. And what they got was suffering and prison and death. Faith isn't always easy, is it? At times, faith can even be hazardous. And this is important for us. What I want you to see in Hebrews 11 is that some people had faith and enforced justice. Other people had faith and faced imprisonment. But both, the Hebrew writer says, had faith. One wasn't less faith than the other. Both had faith. Both had the same level of faith, and one experienced this and the other experienced this. What does that mean? If faith could result in this, then why have it? The thing about faith in its purest form, faith in its purest form, is that it exists regardless of circumstance. The Hebrew writer extols the virtues of men and women of old who have done incredible things and says they had faith. Some of them had that same level of faith, but were able to withstand awful days. The truth is, if you live long enough, you're going to see both, aren't you? You're going to see days where justice is being enforced. You're going to see days where the mouths of lions are going to be shut. You're going to see days where victory comes. But you're also going to see days when bad stuff happens. And what I think the story of Israel and what Hebrews 11 is beckoning us to know is that faith in God helps our soul and our heart regardless of which circumstance it is that we are facing. Now, you've been on the road before and you've seen a semi-truck, right? You know what a semi-truck is, an 18-wheeler? What steers that rig? The steering wheel, right? It doesn't matter how big, it doesn't matter how much weight is in the back of that truck. The wheel is what steers the truck. That's faith. Regardless of what baggage I have behind me, whether it's good or bad, whether it's blessing or it feels like a curse, regardless of how weighted I am behind me, as long as the wheel is steering in the right direction, I'm going to get to where I need to go. It's when the steering wheel doesn't work that wrecks happen. It's when I steer in the wrong direction that what's behind me can start to get me down. The Hebrew writer and the story of Israel want us to know that faith in God, allowing God to direct our lives, is the steering wheel of our life, regardless of what's behind me. Some of you have an incredible amount of cargo behind you of success. Praise God for that. Worldly success. Earthly, great earthly circumstances. Some of you have a lot of cargo in the trailer. It's difficult. That's hard. Relationships or job circumstances or economic conditions or whatever, health issues, grief, or death. The difference between people who, regardless of circumstance, keep that rock-solid conviction that they're going to bless God regardless of their circumstance are people who allow faith to steer the wheel of their life. That's the difference. God is the same. God offers the same. God offers the same sovereign work to us all for peace that surpasses understanding. the difference is people who choose to allow Him and faith in Him to steer their life. And Paul says later on in the book of Ephesians that that kind of faith is a shield that protects us. Faith protects you. And if Israel ever could catch a glimpse that faith was protecting them from their surroundings, wonders happened. But when they took their eyes off of that, destruction happened. We're nearing the end of another year. You got a lot of time over the next several days and weeks, hopefully, to spend with your family, to spend with your friends. Our prayer is that you would be convicted to think about God, to think about both the success and the failure of life, but to see both of those things through the lens of faith. That you would ask the question on behalf of your family, God, what will you do in my life? I need you to do something. And you're the only one who can do it. God meets people of faith in those prayers. As a church, what could we do with evangelism and growth and worship? How could we build on the incredible history and story that we have, so that God could use us to reach farther into the world? I've never been a part of a church that's done a time capsule. When we say time capsule, it's actually a pet coffin, right? No, it's not. I had that wrong. Sorry, I thought it was going to be a pet coffin. But you know why? I've reflected on this. I've never been a part of a church that did a time capsule because I'm not sure that I've ever been a part of a church that's more proud of its past or of its present. What can we do in the future that would build on that great gift that the Lord has given us? What could God do through us? What story can we pass down to future generations because we said, God, this is too big for us to do, but we know you can do it. That's what Israel needed to know. And I'm talking specifics. What can we do? There is nothing that is beyond the reach of faith unless it's outside the will of God. Let's have a word of prayer together. Father God, we pray that you would help us have faith, both for our families and for our church. Father, we pray that we would pray big prayers and that our faith would invite you into situations that we cannot conquer ourselves. So, Father, for all the things that are on our hearts as a church that we would like to grow in, we pray that our soil conditions are right and good. Father, we are proud of where we are. We're proud of where we have come from. And we pray that you would continue to work through us for the future. Father, we are so positive about where we are and about where we can go, but we need you. We need you to help us. Help us be specific. Help us have big dreams. Help us have courageous faith. We pray in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. The good news of the gospel says that we can even have faith because God initially paid the price for us to even reach out to Him in faith to begin with. That because He sent His Son Jesus to the world to pay our price, the debt that we owed, He gave us and bestowed upon us the righteousness of Jesus, thus giving us the opportunity to have faith. We praise God, because without Him, we wouldn't even be able to have faith. So we always offer you the opportunity, if you haven't, to respond to the gospel message of Jesus and to see that, the good news of Jesus and the big story of it all, Maybe you're here and you've never become a believer. Faith has never become real. You've never been able to reach out in faith individually or as a part of the collective because you don't know Jesus. Today's a perfect opportunity. What a day it would be to step out in faith, to accept Jesus as your Lord, and to be washed in immersion. I know a lot of us, most of us even, have already made that commitment, have already taken that step. Maybe you're here and you want some help. You want some help in faith. There's not a better way. What a day it would be to be surrounded by your brothers and sisters in Christ as they pray with you and for you. We offer you freely anything that we can provide for you, prayer or anything else, if you'll come and let us know what we can do while together we stand and sing.